My name is Edwin King, and I'm the executive director of Kentucky Housing Corporation. And today's podcast features a very special guest, a longtime partner of Housing and KHC, Jim King, who serves as president and chief executive officer of FAHI, an organization with a mission to eliminate persistent poverty in our Appalachian regions. Jim has over 30 years of experience in advancing opportunities for people and communities of Appalachia and leads the FAHI organization, which works with over 50 nonprofits across the Appalachian portion of Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, Virginia, Alabama, and Maryland. FAHI uses their expertise in finance, innovation, and advocacy to help the Appalachian regions be more prosperous through much-needed housing and economic opportunities, education, health, and social services in areas that are hardest to serve. Welcome to our podcast, Jim.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, and thank you for being a guest with me today to talk about the housing market and housing trends in Eastern Kentucky and the Appalachian region, how our organizations impact different regions of the state, and how our agencies can partner together to further our missions of investing in housing solutions to break down those barriers of poverty for families so they can live self-sufficiently and more successfully. Jim, we'll go ahead and get started. What trends are at play in Eastern Kentucky and Appalachia that shape housing?
Well, I think just to lead in on, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that we've really enjoyed an inordinately wonderful and longtime partnership with KHC, and have now gotten to know you, Edwin, and it's clear that this is a continued legacy of great partnership and collegiality that we really appreciate. So when it comes to Eastern Kentucky and the market trends, I almost have to think about that part of the state, which often gets kind of lumped as one place, as really there's two different sets of trends going on in our observation. You've got a lot of Eastern Kentucky that there's a population that is close in proximity to I-75, 64, the parkways, and a couple of the hubs like Pikeville and Hazard, where there's a lot of activity relative to other parts of Eastern Kentucky. And I think there you see that job market is growing, that there are places of opportunity, there are places a person can get their higher education without having to leave the region. And things seem, you know, generally strong. If I look at a lot of the major indicators against other parts of the country, it's not so far off of what we would expect in other similar places. That's one part of Eastern Kentucky, and I think it's important to just sort of note that. I think the second of these pockets that are in between all of those places I just laid out, and if folks are familiar at all with the geography, you know, there's quite a distance from the Mountain Parkway to I-75. And so there's a lot of real estate to cover there. And I think there you have years of the trends are kind of backed up by the history, right? You have years of disinvestment and the decline of the number of the higher paying jobs in the coal mining industry in particular, but that seems to be a typical one to kind of point out. And I would say that to a casual observer, the trend looks pretty rough. But when you just peel it back a little further, and there's a lot of movement, right? So to think less about the economy and more about what are the drivers behind places that have had a lot of disinvestment and show poverty, which is what these places have. What we've typically had not enough of is hope and dignity and a sense of personal power or empowerment. But that's really changing. There's a real move of social entrepreneurship. I think a lot of hard work that community organizations have done across that part of the region of really starting to bear some fruit. And we're beginning to see a rediscovery in ecotourism and a sense that people can look at their latent assets and are building their own sense of hope and dignity and power. And it's if you go to Whitesburg, that would be a good place to sort of point out there's really good stuff happening there. And you see it reflected then in the housing market as well. Just signs of life, I would say.
Yeah, well, sort of on that topic, how have SOAR and the Promise Zone impacted the work of FAHI and its members?
Well, I mean, it does dovetail kind of with my last point, because I think both efforts, I would say, are very positive for what we're doing. And I don't want to underestimate the work that we've done. I think for organizations like FAHI, and so in Eastern Kentucky, that's we have 11 members, and the average tenure of those members runs 25 years. So we've been at it a long time, and the trajectory of growth is actually pretty positive, and in some places steep. And quite a number of other partners. And so there's a lot of capacity on the ground that's been waiting for the kind of high visibility effort that SOAR brings. And I think that's one of its big values is it's a rallying point. Congressman Rogers, I think, is somebody that just carries an enormous amount of passion. I think he is passionate about what happens in the region, as well as he commands a lot of respect from folks across the industry and across the region as well. So when he's going to give it his attention, like he does with the SOAR initiative, that builds people's sense of belief of what's possible. We are involved with SOAR and looking always for ways that we can be more involved. Housing is one place that folks think of us, but we have some impacts around community health care as well as the recovery centers and drug recovery work that we do in partnership with some of our members. And so that's been really big. The Promise Zone is a completely different kind of animal, but it gives me the same kind of sense of goodwill and belief about what's going on. It's a small initiative. It's really about the entire eastern part of the state, all of the ARC counties. The Promise Zone is really just a handful of counties in southeast Kentucky. The partnerships are small. There's a smaller number of them, and they're much tighter. And I think there's a bigger emphasis on practical level work. What can we do? We feel, I think, a real sense of time commitment to that. It's a 10-year commitment, and so there's a sense of urgency that goes with that. But I think but likewise, we know it has the attention of people like Congressman Rogers, as well as the governor. And so, that matters. And we're seeing, again, really, really good progress there. A lot of housing units going up. I think if it makes some sense to you, I mean, just one of the types of collaborations that have come out of that is a project that we worked on FAHI with Kentucky Housing Corporation and Berea College has the Partners for Education. We had discovered that there was a lot of truancy in the fifth district, and what's behind that has to do with a youth homeless problem that we are still working towards uncovering completely. What's at the root of that, but we believe it's the opioid crisis. Mom and dad are not present at home and kids are couch surfing. And so they're not showing up for school. And so a youth homeless demonstration grant from HUD was awarded not quite 2 years ago. And FAHI's no longer involved, but it was that kind of effort. And it came up at a Promise Zone meeting that these were issues people were seeing. And so that kind of collaborative dialogue, the ability to make time and share, these are things I see coming out of the Promise Zone and SOAR both, that bring the possibility of new solutions that otherwise
nobody's really paying attention to, or the wrong people are seeing, and or they're seeing it only by themselves.
You're absolutely right. And youth is really going to be a key focus over the next, at least the next fiscal year for us here at KHC. Sort of shifting a little bit, is FAHI looking into opportunity zones as it is already in community development financial institution, or CDFI for short? Are you all looking into opportunity zones?
Well, you know, we took a look at it, and this is kind of typical of our approach, but it might or might not be worth your time to hear philosophically why we approach things this way. We like to be innovative, but I don't like to be the first adopter to something of this type. I'd rather, it's good to learn from your mistakes, but I think it's always better to learn from somebody else's. So we're probably gonna pass on this first round. If the program has real validity, it'll show up again. But the population that generally we work with is disadvantaged in a way that I don't like to try too many experiments. It's already hard enough what we do. So learning new stuff that nobody else can show how it works is usually not the sweet spot we're looking for.
Gotcha. Well, I know in conversations with KHC, FAHI has characterized that the Eastern Kentucky housing market is broken. And you spoke a little bit on that about how there's more hope and dignity and entrepreneurship here, you know, currently. That being said, that got many of us at KHC wondering how to impact a region that needs radically affordable housing and economic development. Most KHC programs and funding mechanisms were created with the assumption that they will merely be interventions in otherwise functioning housing markets, interventions that lead the market to serve low and moderate income Kentuckians. As you know, KHC struggles with balancing the cost of subsidizing construction of individual home buyer units alongside an obligation to make our subsidy go further. How do you view this challenge?
It's a big frame, right? But I'm not sure it's the frame I would quite look at. So we can maybe this will make sense to you. I don't disagree that the programs that were created and their original intent have at their root this notion of intervention, and so I think that's exactly right. And I think it's really important to kind of point out. I think it attempts, though, to draw the line on then when and where we invest based on an understanding that some places are just beyond help. And there's some truth in that scenario, although I'm not sure it's on a big enough scale to be the important point of the conversation, right? Like, we make decisions to not invest in housing in certain places because nobody's ever going to buy, right? Like, even if you could get the financing together, if that family doesn't want that house on that in that holler, nobody else is going to want it.
Right.
Right. If I have to foreclose, is that asset worth anything? And that's something we want to look at because I think it's about, for me, there are parts of some counties, there are parts of Southeast Kentucky I'm not very interested in building new construction in, rental or home ownership, either one. Those communities are struggling. And I think we don't want to withdraw completely, right? But I begin to think in terms of triage and how do we do repair ministries there, and how do we keep other things rolling? I think the question, though, for me is more about like, what is it we're trying to achieve, right? So if the conversation is about housing, then that leads you down one path, and that's clearly what KHC's charge is, but that isn't what our charge is, and that's not what our mission is quite after, as you mentioned in the lead-in, you know. I don't want to be limited to thinking about the goal of what we're trying to do in the Commonwealth about housing and subsidy funds, because I just think it puts an artificial limit to the conversation. If it is about how we are equipping a family or a person to achieve the American dream, and we're thinking about what the overarching strategies are for that, And that may fit with KHC, and I think that fits with us too. Then I think it begs some different questions that I think we're more inclined to ask of ourselves, Edwin, which is sort of like, you know, how does the Commonwealth want to invest in its people? And what are the approaches that are effective to do that? And it kind of in that line, then it's like, then I'm not concerned about how do I spread the money out and make it fair to everybody. It's more about how do we make investments in a way that create an equity of opportunity for folks, and that there are some markets that need less to reach that equity, and there are some that need more, but it better be within some common set of goals and under some sort of umbrella strategy. What are the approaches that would be effective? How do we make resources behave within that type of frame? And what are the resources that we ought to bring to bear, right? Like, it's not all on KHC, right? It's not all on HUD. It's not all on USDA, right? It's just like all of us working together. But I think right now we're a bit disjointed across a lot of key stakeholders, not completely out of step. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a little, just we're not all in lockstep. And I think that might be harder than I wished it was. But I think I'm inclined to look at what are the investment strategies that begin to build on the places of hope in a place like Eastern Kentucky. And I think there are some places where there's just not a functional housing market, but I think there are places that are not that far off if we think about it from a longer perspective than a grant cycle, for instance.
No, I appreciate that, Jim. I preface the question there with how the programs are designed, but I think you really highlight how Eastern Kentucky really is in a unique situation, and it requires unique solutions that are different than other parts of Kentucky and other parts of the country. So I appreciate that. And you're absolutely right. Historically speaking, in government in general, we have a tendency to be siloed and in our different approaches about tackling some of the same problems. And I feel like here over the last several months, you see some of those silos being torn down. I know we've made efforts in doing that, especially with USDA, and they've been very, very helpful, and some other key players that could, you know, can impact Eastern Kentucky. If Eastern Kentucky fails to perform as a functional housing market, how does FAHI think about addressing housing needs? Are altogether different approaches needed, or should we sort of stay the course of what we've been doing? Should we look at maybe more community land trust or not? Small homes that can be delivered at a modest cost and are radically affordable, think maybe tiny homes or Katrina cottages or modified manufactured housing. I'm just throwing this out here and just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I think there are already a few markets. I think the likelihood that the entire part of it would just fail to behave as a functional housing market. So I struggle just there a bit. I think there are places that we just have to be really honest, though, aren't going to get there.
Yeah.
Right. There's just too little, too late, and I think that becomes super difficult. But I do think that places like Hazard and Whitesburg, Moorhead, these are places where the signs of life about the market behaving in a more typical or normal way, that I think that exists. And it's not as strong as we'd like, but I think that we look for those leverage points. But that gets back to sort of a common strategy, like, is that the way we want to look at it together? Because that's the way we would look at it as the practitioner boots on the ground in that part of the state. I think these other sort of ideas that you tossed out that they're certainly being done. I mean, they're not all that radical, right? Like if we can't make an investment that is about building a market, you know, if you're not going to really build appraisals in whatever that place is, but you still have people. And I think that's what I meant by when I spoke to the notion of repairs and so forth. I think there's the need for some replacement housing at times where it's just not worth it to try to get to it. And I think there are barriers to overcome even in that little conversation. You know, Edwin, one reason that it drives that direction is the way that the lead-based paint, right, gets addressed and asbestos. If you've got folks who are living in really old homes but could be salvaged, but it costs too much to do the abatement, then you effectively cut yourself off from a set of resources that might have been a little more effective. Those are the kinds of impediments that make it hard to help just triage where people are already at.
Right, right. Well, Jim, what are the top three things KHC could do to assist FAHI with its mission?
Well, I'm so glad we don't have a time limit to this old podcast. I have about 29 pages of my top three things. Sorry. I wish that was funnier too. It's simply not. So I don't have three exactly. But so I'll go back to something I stated before. I think one would be a more common strategy to how we're addressing the needs in the Commonwealth or how we're thinking about at least Eastern Kentucky as a subset of your bigger mission, Edwin. I think that would feel key to me, because that opens then what are the other assets we're not talking about that can come to bear, right? As opposed to just programs and product, KHC has a set of relationships and a balance sheet and other product offerings, or the ability to design other products that we never quite go there. And FAHI has some of the same. We're not so big as Kentucky Housing, but it would at least put a lot of things on the table that aren't right now. The second would be how we think about how the money that's already on the table works. The way that I think about that is leaders solve problems. And the nonprofit network that's part of who we are and the people I work with, they're local leaders in their communities. They're the ones who think about how to bring these pieces together and look at the latent assets in a community and find the right partnerships while they're doing, you know, the housing piece. They have to be supported with a consistent flow of some kind of capital or cash, right? Like, you know, if you would call it an investment stream of some sort.
Right.
And consistency really matters. Consistency and flexibility almost matter more than volume. So I think, you know, if we're within a strategy and we're thinking about that kind of thing, then there are a couple of subsets of that. If I can just hit those real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking about what the broker opportunities would be for Eastern Kentucky and how that develops, good solid income streams for the nonprofit community. How we use CHOTO funding, which is under the home program, but that CHOTO status allows an amount of flexibility that is its own investment vehicle if it's managed well. And just, I would just think about that across a couple of other program areas. Rethinking how we utilize the home program just generally in certain parts of the state, thinking less about just the end user, but how we can consider it being an asset creator or an asset builder at the local level, right? So then you're building wealth that sticks in a community, not just in the home itself, but in the capacity of a local nonprofit that has a leader that can make other things happen. And then lastly, I just think the kind of along those lines, because a lot of that sounds pretty single family oriented, a more consistent or a continuum view of what it would take to deliver affordable rental housing in Eastern Kentucky. I think the infrastructure is missing, and so it is more like one-off deals than it is about a flow of business.
Right. I'm glad you said that. You know, low-income housing tax credits are a major way KHC incentivizes and invest in construction and preservation of affordable housing. I know FAHI has made efforts to utilize tax credits in Eastern Kentucky. Could you maybe tell us about how that went or is going or what you envision for the future?
I think I would say a couple of things as part of that. One is that I certainly appreciate that low-income housing tax credits are probably the primary driver of affordable rental housing in the country. Other forms of financing and development of rental seem to be as important. So several of our members own property and manage that at some modest scale. I think when it comes to low-income housing tax credit, you're correct. We raised a couple of different equity funds in the past, and then and continue to manage those investments, as well as then help pull the deals together, and then work with a local partner for them to be the developer, as well as supplying the management capacity. Not that that would come from my team, but did we know somebody who would know how to do that, or can we teach that local organization to do that? You know, I think we were pretty successful for a couple of years in putting deals in some of the hardest places to serve, in Eastern Kentucky. And we did one deal I was particularly really happy with one of our members, Kentucky River Community Care. And it was three separate sites under one project so that we could get the scale of what you need for the project. I think in total, we ended up with about 40 units, but they were in three sites, fully occupied on the day that they were open to get a lease. I mean, people were ready to move in. So it's not that the need wasn't there. The need is definitely there. The demand is there. The big issues come down to the relative affordability, and the cash flow that it takes to maintain property at a scale. It makes the low income housing tax credit a bit difficult. The lack of consistency of deals means that the development capacity is not robust, and so then you end up hiring lots of experts from outside of the region to pull things together, or if you can't raise the equity just for Eastern Kentucky, then you're bringing in an equity partner from outside of the region. And so then not all of the potential that can be earned in a project like that stays in the communities that you're trying to serve, which is philosophically the, you know, strategy of can we create wealth that sticks? And that's where we struggled with it. And so just in a real practical sense, we had difficulty raising substantial amount of equity that we could dedicate to Eastern Kentucky. And I think ultimately that is what needs to be done. But that requires an effort that we would want to do in partnership with you all. And a couple of others. Otherwise, what you get are one-off deals from folks who really have their minds thinking about other kinds of markets. So where we've made that, where we have made that work is it helps if there's a set aside of credits, because that takes all away one of the decision points. Like, hey, we know we can get this, so that makes that easier, which helps the other things to fall into place a little bit. I have not seen a tax credit deal work anywhere in Appalachia that didn't have some kind of voucher, regardless of the type of housing, whether it was for straight low-income housing or elderly or special need or recovery. I can't think of one. So anything that can be done that helps the pieces fall into place just a little better help.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right on the vouchers too. I think we've really advocated for more project-based vouchers of the Housing Choice Voucher programs. I think if we talk about housing holistically, vouchers make sense, but like you said, especially in the Appalachia region, in order to be successful, vouchers is a key component of that.
Yeah, I think it is. It's not like it can't be done because we've done it. I think it's just a matter of everything is a little bit harder, which means it costs more, and the cost is hard to cover because the size of the deals are relatively small. So you have developers who do not do their primary work in Eastern Kentucky, who do what I would consider, I'm glad to see them do it, but they do the occasional deal, right? They're balancing out a portfolio. I think equity providers do the same thing. Like, well, we've got enough money in the pool to do, 15 deals. We'll do one in Eastern Kentucky. And so they become deals that get done, but we're building no internal capacity to deliver the next one. Because most of the profit incentive in this business is on the syndication side and the construction side. And you're not left with much to do the deal structuring, if you will, unless you're the equity provider. So when we were doing this, and it's been more than 5 years since we syndicated any deals at FAHI, but what we were able to do is pull all those pieces together. And one thing we haven't talked about is the lack of national and large regional banks in Appalachia just generally just means raising equity is really tough, if that's your focus. So it almost without an artificial structure, you're almost forced to think about deals outside of the region just to do a couple in the region.
I appreciate you answering some of my questions, but certainly we want to keep the dialogue a two-way stream. With that being said, are there any questions that you might have for us here at KHC or some of your, that might address some of your partners' questions that they might have for KHC? We'd be happy to open that dialogue as well.
Well, I think you've been generous to let me say what I thought, so I hope I didn't wear out my welcome on that. I think there are a couple of things that I tried to put out there, but I'll let you speak to it. How do you all think about the role of KHC and its ability to impact the needs of different parts of the state?
Yeah, we depend a lot on the capacity of our partners in our partnership network. And you kind of alluded to this in some of your comments. Different parts of the state have different challenges, and Eastern Kentucky is no exception to that. So we really depend on partners on the ground to accomplish our mission. So that means, providing them with the appropriate resources to accomplish their mission, because we're only as strong as our partnership network. So, we are the financiers of affordable housing, but we have to have that delivery from a strong partnership network in order to succeed at our mission.
And I assume, since partially we're talking about Eastern Kentucky quite a bit here, that you think about the hard to serve places. And I assume Eastern Kentucky is not the only place that comes to mind for Kentucky housing when I say that. Are you all satisfied with what that looks like, or do you see, you know, what do you see needs to be better or different?
No, thank you for asking that. You know, certainly there are challenges in different parts of the state. And, you know, if it was easy to serve those hard to serve places, we would have, you know, accomplished that hopefully long ago. So certainly we need to strive to do more to impact hard to serve places. You know, when you look at Western Kentucky, for example, the network and partners that we have in Western Kentucky is not as extensive as in Eastern Kentucky. So, you know, that's a challenge in the Western part. And speaking about Eastern Kentucky, we've kind of had some of the discussions with Fannie Mae and sort of centered around the duty to serve. And I know you've been a part of those discussions. They're very difficult issues to address because we have limited funding streams. We have to think strategically about how we deploy our resources. But that is could be a potential positive because, you know, when you start to think strategically, that can maybe help produce good and effective models that can then be used to show policymakers that we know how to accomplish, you know, our goals and address difficult places to serve. And that could potentially drive more funding. So thinking strategically is key. We need help from partners like FAHI, I think, to help develop innovative strategies and solutions. Homeownership is certainly important in the Appalachian region, as you mentioned, but I think we also need to do a better job and strive to meet the rental needs in harder to serve communities because it's difficult. And you know, like you said, low income housing tax credits, that can be a difficult resource to utilize in the Appalachian region. But how do we, you know, how do we address the rental, you know, the rental population with perhaps other resources? And I think that's a key distinction.
Well, it makes me wonder, even on the single family side, if we don't need to also consider what are different financial models we could be looking at. So, not that I have one to pitch today. Just
no. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
yeah. More innovative talk around multifamily. Not just today. It just seems like our industry does a better job of thinking about multifamily than we do on the single family delivery. But you know, we didn't talk about the GSEs and the duty to serve and what should be a boost of investment from them to bring a little juice to the work in Eastern Kentucky, I hope. So along the lines of the things we can do, do you have your own list of the couple of things you wished that FAHI could do to enhance the mission of Kentucky Housing?
Yeah, I do. Before I do address that though, I do want to I talk about rental units, but certainly homeownership, as you alluded to earlier in the conversation, is a good resource. The dollars that go into homeownership are good resources to pour into homeownership because, like you said, homeownership does build wealth, and it's a way to reinvest in our communities. So I don't want to, I want to make sure that's certainly clear. Homeownership is more. Historically speaking, homeownership has been the right solution in many cases in many parts of Eastern Kentucky. So a lot more so than maybe other parts. So the wealth building potential of homeownership is crucial. As in regards to what you were asking about, you know, maybe some things that FAHI could do to that maybe would enhance KHC's ability to meet its mission. If you all continue to build capacity among your members, like I said, the capacity and the partnership network is crucial in completing our mission. And, that would also entail continuing to provide capital to your members. And I know we've thrown out the opportunity zones in this discussion, but that could potentially be a good way to attract new capital. And, when I think about some of the things that we might do together that would maybe leverage more resources and greatly impact Kentucky, I think about opportunity zones and you know, I think we need to continue to prepare people to be homeowners through, you know, counseling services and develop capacity to maybe utilize tax exempt bonds for developing smaller scale rental properties. What are social impact investment models that might work in the Eastern Kentucky region?
And so if we had thoughts about that, those are things that you would find potentially useful and enhancement. And I think it's inherent in there. I had one other question was about the top things we might do together that would leverage new resources and more resources for Kentucky. And it sounds like you kind of answered that in a lot of ways to me. If you have other thoughts, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, no, I think, we're going to wait and see what happens with the, with the opportunity zones. But when you talk about bringing new capital to a specific regions in Kentucky, I think that's a good potential. And one of the main reasons why the low income housing tax credit program doesn't work in Eastern Kentucky is because of the credit pricing that you see in regions like Eastern Kentucky. And that's not unique to Kentucky. I mean, it's in rural parts in general. They're more difficult. But when you look at opportunity zones, perhaps that's another resource that can sort of fill that gap. As you mentioned, the vouchers are a critical component of making LIHTC deals work in Eastern Kentucky. And that's because there is that funding gap. So if we can look for new ways to raise capital and make some of these deals work, I certainly would be all for that. I think, too, we also look at maybe while wealth building of homeownership is good, I think there's a segment of the population that just aren't ready to be homeowners. How do we better serve them? And I think we do look at maybe smaller scale rental projects that maybe don't entail the LIHTC resource, but other sources of funding. And so I think that's certainly an area that we could explore in the future.
I think that has a ton of potential. I have a saying that is familiar probably to most of you, that it's not my saying. I mean, I'm quoting a proverb of, if you want to go fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, you go with friends. And we have a far way to go in some of these places. And so it's really good to have friends.
Well, I agree. And we thank you for all of your partnership, and thank you again for your time with us today. We really do appreciate it. And we appreciate you being a part of this specific conversation to talk about challenges and opportunities to provide holistic housing solutions for families in Kentucky and specifically the hardest to serve regions like Eastern Kentucky. Thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.